Well, this Sunday morning is what we call our State of the Church Address. Every president does this at the first of the year. This gives a State of the Union. Every one of us is encouraged to get a physical at the first of the year to find out how you're doing health-wise. And so I think it's only natural that as a church, you try to get an understanding as to how are we doing? How are we doing as a church? How was 2007 and what do we have to look forward to in 2008? And so that's what we want to do today. And this is one of the more difficult messages that I ever have to preach, because I could stand here for 3 to 4 hours and just not even touch the hem of the garment of all the things that have happened over here at church. I know many of you would love to sit here for that long, but because we have Sunday school at the second hour, we will not be able to do that. So I will condense it all and try to cover as much as I can in the short time span that we have. The first thing I want you to see on the screen is what the mission of our church is. And so everything that we do here at our church, we want to center around this particular mission. And so I want you to read this together with me. Let's just read this together. You ready? Our mission is this: to glorify God in worship, to reach people with His truth and love, and equip believers to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Now, everything we want to do centers around that particular mission. And at the end of 2001, as we moved into 2002, I stood before the congregation and shared a 2010 vision. And it was our vision for impacting our world, the United States, North America, and the world. And what could we do as a church? And so we set some goals, and I'd like you to remind you again what those goals are and where we are today. Our first goal was that we would send missionaries from Shays Mountain Baptist Church to all 24 time zones around the world. What that means is that we would have people serving in all 24 time zones somewhere between that end of 2001 until 2010. Well, I've got some pretty exciting news for you is that as of today, we have 14 time zones covered with full-time people. Now, what this represents is 34 units and 106 people. And so over these last few years, we have 106 people that have gone out from our church that are serving around the world. Now, we also have sent short-term teams out, and they've covered different time zones. So what I asked Jeremy Grime to provide for me is, so, well, how many time zones have we covered with short-term teams and long-term workers? And here's that is. And on that slide, you'll see the green represents where we've had short-term teams. So 18 time zones out of 24 have already been covered. Now, when you take a look on this, you've got some great options for service. If you like warm weather, you've got Hawaii to my left. If you like cold weather, you got Siberia to the right. So, you know, we've still got some areas that that you can serve in and be a part of. And some of these time zones, we'll talk to you more about it later, are just like one or two islands over there. So we're going to see if we can get you some strategies for that. But that's just an amazing step that our church has been taking over these last few years. The second goal we had is to plant churches in all 11 of the International Mission Board regions. International Mission Board takes the world and it divides it into regions. There are 11 of those regions. And so far, we've covered 5 of those regions with churches planted, and we have strategies for the other 6 that we are making progress on, and hopefully over this next year or so, we'll see incredible progress to get all 11 of those regions covered. Then our third goal was that we would do mission work in all 50 states in the United States. Well, I've got good news for you, and that is that as of today, we have 34 of the 50 states covered. We've got 3 years to get the next 16 states done. Already, we have trips planned for Idaho and for Minnesota. And so those two green states will come up there. But now, every year we have a global impact celebration. And we're very strategic in this. And that during that global impact celebration, we try to invite missionaries that we can partner with to help us meet our 2010 goals. And this year, we have missionaries from North America that are representing about 9 states. I want you to see that on the map. These 9 states right here, we have missionaries that will be at our GIC. Now, this is why it's so important for us to meet them, to connect with them, and say, hey, what needs do you have in your state? We as a Sunday school class or we as a short-term mission team want to go out there and work with you. And we can cover a great deal just after making some relationships this year. This is a huge, huge pivotal year. So when you come to GIC and you get to meet your missionaries through your Sunday school class, get to know them, because we'd love to send you on a mission trip to go out there and help them during this next year. So the other goal we had, the fourth goal, was that we would adopt a strategic focus city. We did that. We did that a few years ago with New Hope, New York, specifically in the New Brunswick, New Jersey area. And then our fifth goal was that we would plant at least 5 churches in the United States. And I've got good news for you in that we have not only planted 5, but we're up to 6. And these are the churches that we have planted. We have Crossroads Church right here in downtown Birmingham on the south side with Andrew as our pastor. Then we've got Iglesia Cristiani Agape in Hoover. It's our Hispanic church. Harry Harper is the pastor. Dennis Chamberlain was the co-pastor who was a part of our church. And Dennis and his wife Leticia left in the fall to go on the International Mission Board. And so they're overseas and will be, I guess, getting over there sometime this month or next and begin their service over there. The third church is the Point Church. That's the one up in New Brunswick, New Jersey, with Kevin Pounds as the pastor. The fourth church we planted is Grace Point Church. That's in North Las Vegas, Nevada. And Devin Hudson is the pastor. And we've sent a number of people there. We also helped with North Valley Church, which is in Margaret, Alabama. And Chris Crane is the pastor. They set up a second location. And we specifically helped them with all of their preschool and children's stuff. And last year, we were introduced to Paul Fleming and helped plant a church in the Westport Church in Hillsboro, Oregon. And I believe Paul's going to be back with us again this year. And we connected with him. In fact, we sent a singles team, went out there and worked with them and helped get this church planted. So we're beyond what we had hoped, and we're still looking for more churches to help plant. Then you take our 2010 vision on the number 6, and that is that we plant at least 1 church in Canada, and we have had a wonderful relationship so far with Scott Dollar, and the church is called A Place Called Hope, and it's in Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, and that church has been planted, and we're still working with them. Now, that's our 2010 vision, and folks, we're making incredible progress on that. It's been focused, it's been exciting. Now, during the year, how have we made this become a reality? We've made this become a reality because of our going and because of our giving. Let's take a look at our going. What took place this past year is that we sent teams on 15 international projects with a total of 147 people that went from Shades Mountain Baptist Church. However, there were other groups that went outside of our church, and there were 28 other projects involving 42 of our people that went all around the world. So we then looked at our North America projects. We had 19 North America projects with 681 people involved. So you've got international, you've got North America, and here's the total. The total is 62 mission projects with 870 people involved. And so in 2007, we as a church went on at least 62 mission projects and had over 870 people involved helping to touch our world. Everything from across the street to around the world. Now, hey, that should applaud. That's great stuff. And see, this is why we say the heartbeat of our church is missions. It's not just something we read about, not just something that we say, hey, it'd be a good idea if this happened. We mobilize our people, and you get involved. And because you get involved, you have an impact. And sometimes you don't understand the impact that you have. I received a letter from Chris Horton. And Chris Horton, just recently, he and his family went full-time with E3 Ministries. And already Don and Lori Jones have been with them for a number of years. And they sent me a letter, and he said, we went back over the partnership trips, the short-term mission trips, that Shades Mountain Baptist people have been on with E3 Ministries since 2002. And he said, we did some calculation. He says, I just want to share these figures with you as to what Shades Mountain Baptist Church global impact with just one ministry, E3 Ministries. And look what it said. Because of your work, you've seen 13,568 professions of faith, and you have seen 184 new churches planted because of the work that Shades Mountain Baptist Church has done with E3 Ministries. I think that's great stuff. Now, that's exciting. Is that exciting? I mean, that fires me up to see we're going out there, we're making an impact. This is not church to where we just come on a Sunday morning, sit and soak for an hour, and then begin to move outside and just live life as normal and just show back up next Sunday. This is getting influenced by the gospel and getting impacted by the gospel and taking it out and sharing it with other people. Now, there's a lot of going involved, but then there's also a lot of giving that is involved. You know, for a church, every year we have a financial budget, and it sure is nice when you meet a budget so that you can keep the lights on and the heat and air. Our budget goal was $6,500,000. It was the largest goal, you know, that we'd ever had. And you can see the past as to what we gave. 2006, our goal was $6 million, and we gave around $6.5 million. Well, our goal this year was $6.5 million. And I've got great news for you. Our budget giving was $6,868,200. So we went beyond the budget by $368,000. That in itself is pretty exciting. But then go to the next slide, and that is make Jesus known. What make Jesus known is that is our missions budget. In our operating budget, we have cooperative program and other missions, but then we have set aside make Jesus known. And in that make Jesus known budget, that is where we give money to international missions, local missions, North America missions. All of our missions is in there. And we put together a budget of $550,000. Now, $550,000. If you take a look on this graph, your pastor with his incredible vision last year said $530,000 and you gave over $700,000. I said, hey, maybe that's a blip in the screen. So we set the budget for $550,000. Now you got to understand, we set the budget for the next year before we know what's coming in on this year. So we set the budget for $550,000, which is a pretty good stretch when you see the progress that's taken place since the year 2000. Well, folks, you just blew me away this year. Let me tell you what you gave as a church. What we gave as a church to make Jesus known was $783,200 to make Jesus known into missions, which means that we went over our missions giving by over $230,000, okay? That's phenomenal. Now, so you say, okay, we gave all this money, so what does that mean? Well, what that means is we take that overage and we give it to different ministries, and let me just share where most of that goes to. Our make Jesus known, because of what you've done, our Lottie Moon offering, and Lottie Moon, for some of you that don't know, that is the offering that is taken up for the International Mission Board. It is an annual offering, and every dollar that goes to that goes straight to the mission field. And so that is a huge need for international missions. This year, we gave $250,000 to Lottie Moon, which is naturally the largest in the history of our church, and I think it may be the largest in the history of the state of Alabama. We'll find that out. That's not our concern. We just, if we get it, we give it. And then Annie Armstrong, which goes to North American missions, $100,000 is what we've given to them. Again, the largest that we've ever done in the history of our church. And so we were able to help Southern Baptist missionaries. And these people that you see, many of them called from our church to go overseas or just to go around our country, we're helping support them financially. So if I had to total it up, this would be it. Our total giving for this year went into a range we've never been in, and that is $10,198,000. Now, last year it was like 8.4. So this is a huge jump, and the missions giving was $1,938,588, which means that 19% of every dollar that came into our church went to missions. Now, this is in the midst of it's a good word. You'll see in a minute that $2 million went to every generation. So we're in the middle of starting a building program, and yet missions is still at the forefront, which it means that about 20 cents out of every dollar that comes into our church, we send it outside our church to go to missions. Now, there's a graph on our total missions giving, and I think it's important for you to see just the progress that we've made in 01. When we started our 2010 vision, we were giving about $980,000 to missions, and this year was $1,939,000 for an increase of 99%. And in the midst of that, we've had building programs of Journey of Faith. We've entered into another building program every generation. And missions is still at the forefront. And that's the way we said it would be, and we have continued to do that. And so that is great news on there. Also, I'll just tell you that our cooperative program giving this year would be about $686,000, which again is higher than we've ever done before. And that is what helps our Southern Baptist causes, our disaster relief, our seminaries, and on and on and on. And so as a church, folks, I just congratulate you. Because you're putting your heart into missions, you're going and you're giving, and we're seeing an impact being made on that. And it thrills my heart as a pastor to see that we're a church that's focused on that and focused on helping others. Every generation, let me just share a word with you. Every generation, that was our capital funds campaign that we started. And in November and December, as a church, you gave a little over $2 million already, which was 17.6% of the pledges. And that was beyond anything that we projected. We had no idea that much money would come in that early. And you know, in any kind of capital campaign, the earlier money comes in, the more you save on construction interest. And so you have allowed us to save tens of thousands of dollars in the future just because of the upfront giving. So you look at all of the giving, and it's just been amazing. It was a great year of going and a great year of giving. And I stood before you last year, and I said, our theme would be to take it to the next level. And my encouragement was that we would take it to the next level spiritually, we take it to the next level financially, the next level from going and giving, and take it to the next level physically, okay? And that's when I stood before you and said that I was going to take that step and was going to run a marathon and in March 25th in Atlanta to do that. And I did it. I struggled, but I made it on there. And when we talked about that, all of a sudden, we challenged every person here to just take it up a notch, even physically. And I'm so proud of what our church has been doing in that. We have seen such an increase in people getting involved in just physical wellness over here. Talking to Joelle Akridge, who's director there at our CLC, and she mentioned that we had there was a 5K race that took place in the spring that I encouraged. Now, I made our staff run, and I told the 22 ministerial staff they had to run it, but then anyone else that wanted to could, and they thought that if they got to the end, that I'd have a bonus check for them. No, but they joined it, and they said, yeah, over 150 of the members of the church. I mean, the choir got all involved. Michael got a lot of people fired up, and we had about 150 people that ran a 5K race. Many of them had never done that before. We had close to 25 people run in the Vulcan Run, the 10K race that took place in November. We had over 100 people that were involved in health and wellness classes. There were a number of people that signed up and got involved in a Weight Watchers class that we had here. And we've got testimonials of people that have lost 30, 40, even 50 pounds. And they said they feel so much better because of that. We had groups that get together that riding bikes and said they wanted to get on these long-term bike rides, long-distance bike rides. And so groups began to get together and do that. We just joined in a partnership with the YMCA, and we're doing some things with them and working with our kids. And so over and over, things have happened where people are going up to a next level physically. And that's why in your worship guide, you have that insert that has that health expo card right here. You know, this right here is happening this Wednesday. From 3 o'clock till 8 o'clock. And I encourage all of you to be here to get you a great start on your new year. To come through, to be a part of these testings. A lot of these have free testings and some seminars. And you just walk through here and you'll see so many things that can be a help to you physically for this next year. So take advantage of this. I hope to see you there at the Health Expo. And it'll be on Wednesday, okay? So all those things, guys, just have done great. So what do you want to do for this next year? For this year, I'd like for us to continue to go to the next level, but I want to focus on two words, serving and sharing. Serving and sharing. Okay, I want you to repeat that after me. Ready? Serving and sharing. All right, next level, serving and sharing. It'd be very easy to remember for how we want to focus. Now, I'd like, if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, Jesus is being asked, and he's being asked by someone who says, what is the greatest commandment? You know, he got all these commandments. He says, Jesus, which one is the greatest commandment? And look at what Jesus said. It says in verse 28, one of the scribes came up and they heard him disputing with one another. Seeing that he answered them well, he asked him this question: which commandment is the most important of all? And in verse 29, Jesus answered, the most important is this: hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. I want you to focus on this for just a moment. This will be our foundation for the whole year. And the foundation for the whole year is found in Mark chapter 12, verse 29, when it says that the Lord is one. And then in verse 30, how we should love him with our heart and our soul and our mind and all of our strength. So what does this mean? What this means is that for every one of us, I would love for us to go to a next level in just our love for the Lord. It says we're to love him with all of our heart and all of our soul. That means that we're to love him passionately. We're to love him passionately. My heart, that is my emotion. That's the center of my being. That's where I make my decisions, okay? And so I want to love him with all of that. And then it says with your soul, which is my spirit, the vitality of life I have. To love God passionately. I mean, to have that passionate love for him. Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. And then he comes back and he says, and to love him with all your mind. That means to love him thoughtfully. Wouldn't it be great this year if you just went beyond a surface understanding of biblical truths? Now, our staff has been working through a systematic theology book, and we'll continue to do that this next year. And it's been great. It's been great to talk about the tenets of our faith and to understand the doctrinal beliefs. And so find something this year to love the Lord your God with your mind, to be thoughtfully. And then last thing it says is to love the Lord with all your strength. That is practically. Love him with all your strength. What are the abilities that you have? What are the strengths that you have? Love him with all of your strength. Do something practical. And that's where we're going to dovetail in, because if you love the Lord, your God, to the next level, it means that you will go to the next level in serving and in sharing. Now, let's look at next level serving. When Jesus told him, well, this is the greatest commandment, he then came back and said, and the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when this was discussed in the book of Luke, Jesus moved right into the parable of the Good Samaritan and of how one served another one. And so what this year we want to do is to get our focus off of ourselves and turn our focus onto others and begin to serve others. And you can look for a number of ways to do that. And I've just got to brag on this church. This church does an amazing job of serving others within the body. I get emails. I could have read some. I looked through them, but they would seem to have too much personal stuff in it that I couldn't really break it out. But, I mean, there are people in our church who financially helped individuals. There are people who have gone over and done yard work. They've provided meals. They have sent emails. They've sent cards. They sat with sick parents that were in the hospital. I mean, over and over, our people just do this. And I'd like for us to turn it up a notch and go to the next level. And one of the ways we're going to encourage you to do this is to do it together as a church. Now, I'm really excited about this. The month of April, we have a church-wide mission project, and every one of you that are here today get to be involved in this, all right? And even those that aren't here today, we want you to be involved in a church-wide mission project, and this is what it is. We're going to the area of Tarrant, and as we go to Tarrant, in Tarrant, we are going to repaint the schools in Tarrant. We're going to take on their elementary school and their middle school with our main work, and then we're going to do some work in the high school and some work at the Board of Education. And for 1 month, we are going to organize through our Sunday school classes and assign classes room or rooms to take. And you may be sitting there saying, hey, we'll take the second grade classroom there. We'll take third grade classroom there. And then we're going to help you as you prep them and paint them. And we're going to, as a group, on every Saturday, we're going to do some work. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be out there every Saturday. Your Sunday school class may pick the second Saturday of April and go out there and knock out the room or rooms that you have. But over April, we're going to go and we're going to impact that community. We have talked to their leaders in the community, and they are so excited that we're coming. I mean, they are just pumped beyond measure. And when we organize our people to go out and serve them, we're going to freshen up that elementary school, freshen up that middle school, work on the Board of Education, do some work in the high school. And then on the last Saturday, the 26th, we are going to have a huge block party to celebrate what has happened. And we're going to invite all of the community to come and to go through the schools and to see the new work that is done and to add a pride to their education. Now, what will happen is when these people come, we're going to do and put together some great things for this block party. You know, our students, both First Love and New Wind, do these things all around the United States. They go out of here and they go on a mission trip and they do block parties. We're going to use them again and they're going to be doing some things and members will do some stuff. We're going to have our ladies ministry that's going to be responsible for bringing food to all the workers during the weekends. And then on that last day, it's just going to be an amazing block party to where we have an opportunity to show them what's been done, to share the message of Christ. And what do we get out of this? There's no ulterior motive. It's just looking for some place to serve. Some place to take the love of Christ. And we want people, you know, there's so many times that everybody looks at the church and says, I know what you're against, but I don't know what you're for. Well, what we're for is for serving others and for helping other people. And so we as a church want to do this, and we're going to do it in the month of April. You'll hear more about it each week as we start getting prepared. So when you go home with your new day timer, keep some Saturdays open in April, and especially circle the 26th. It will be a huge event to where we'll have a block party for that. Go to the next level of serving. Now, this is just going to get you kickstarted on it. But then throughout the year, look for ways to help and serve other people. There are needy people all around us, okay? That's the first thing. Let me tell you the last thing, and that is next level sharing. Next level sharing. Next level sharing. I want you to turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Turn back with just a few pages from the book of Mark and go to Matthew 28. And look at the last two verses of Matthew 28. Matthew 28, this is called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. He says this, Jesus, his last words before he ascends to heaven, looks at his disciples and says this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Now, he looked at these guys, and when he looked at these men, he says, here's what you're to do. You're to go, and you're to make disciples. You're not just to sit around and talk about how much fun it was to hang with Jesus for the 3 years he was here. No, you're to go, you're to share the message, and you're to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He says, you are to go out and make this a reality. Go share your faith. And as I look at all the things that our church has done well, this is an area that I think that we're weak in, is that we need to be more, I guess, aggressive or more aware of people that need the gospel and be able to share our faith. You see, this next year is going to be a very interesting year, folks, because our campus is going to be in a little bit of disarray. We already have some construction taking place on the southernmost part of the campus. You'll also begin to see some other construction taking place around here. And when all that begins to happen, it'll be easy for people to say, maybe we don't need to invite anybody to church, or because it's a little bit harder to get around, or my Sunday school class is getting moved away. Listen, this is the exact time that we need to be more proactive. There's progress happening around our church. People will be interested and they'll be curious. You need to invite them. And you need to be looking for people and looking for those and get your focus off of yourself and put your focus on others. And when we get our focus off of us and begin to look to see others, when we see them as a person who's either saved or lost. And if I see them as a person that's lost, I need to be able to share the gospel with them. I want to take it up to the next level to share my faith with them. Now, every one of you, if you had something really cool for Christmas, you told someone about it. You didn't just hold on to it. I'm not going to tell anybody about this. You're all excited. We got the greatest news in the world. And yet sometimes we think we just need to hold on to it rather than tell others about it. So this year, I want to encourage us, and myself included, to be more upfront, more sharing our faith. I'm not asking you guys to take your Bible downtown, beat people over the head and say, turn or burn. You know, and I'm not going to say any stuff like that. I'm just looking for ways to be able to find people that cross my paths every day and begin to share a word of witness with you. Now, every one of us here could do better at that. I believe everyone. Now, if you don't, if you think you've got it mastered, when the service is over, come up to me and say, hey, I've mastered this thing. All right, let me know. But I've not met anyone that has mastered it. And so to help us with this, next Sunday, we've got a series for that Sunday called Every Believer a Witness. And a man that's coming in to lead this is a man by the name of Dennis Nunn. And I want you just to come Sunday morning, because when you come on Sunday morning, I think that you'll be hooked to come the rest of the time. Dennis is a very outgoing individual. His enthusiasm is contagious. His burden for souls is contagious. And what he's going to do is be with us Sunday morning and Sunday night. And he'll handle both worship services. And then we're going to come back on Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night for 1 hour, 7 to 8, and then on Wednesday, 6 to 7. And this is for third grade all the way up to senior adult. And for kindergarten, first, second grade, we've got separate classes for them. But right here in the worship center, be third grade through senior adult. You're not going to have to memorize anything. You're not going to have to be embarrassed on anything. You're going to enjoy this. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be enlightening. And what his goal is to get us to overcome our fears, to help us to begin to look for opportunities, and give us some wonderful tools to be able to share our faith. Folks, I'm telling you, I've talked to other pastors that have had Dennis in, and they said it's the greatest thing they've ever had happen in their church. And it equipped their people with some tools to be able to share their faith. If I asked each person here, has there ever been a time when you crossed paths with someone that you knew was lost and you really wanted to share with them, but you didn't know how, or you felt uncomfortable? I believe every person here could raise their hand and say, yeah, if I just knew something or had a tool. We're going to provide you with that. And I think this year, 2008, this will be the most important. This will be one of the most important Sundays that we have. This, and when our GIC comes at the end of February, this will be a great foundation to help us to learn about sharing our faith. Every believer a witness. Come next Sunday. I think you'll get excited. You'll come back Sunday night and just go on and set your calendar and say, hey, you know what? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, let's come. Let's get the full board and be ready to go. Next level, serving and sharing. The Bible says that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. If we will do that this year, and then from there, take it to the next level serving, understanding that I am to love my neighbor even as myself. And then remember Jesus' last words on the Great Commission, and that we're to go, we're to make disciples, we're to share our faith and share the best news that could ever happen to us. If we can commit to do that individually, it will be one of the greatest years you've ever lived. Corporately, it will be one of the greatest years our church has ever experienced. And for me, that gets me excited. Now, for some of you, you're here today, you could look at every one of those passages we talked about and you said, you know what, I've never made that decision to receive Christ as my Savior. And today could be that day. To where you ask him to come into your life and you can make that decision public in just a moment when we sing our song of invitation, to walk down front, take our hand and say, I'm ready for Christ to come and to be in my life. And for some, it may mean that you want this to become your church. You've prayed about it, you've thought about it and said, you know what? I want to be a part of that. I'm excited about the past, but I'm even more excited about the future as to what God has in store for us. And if that is your desire, during this time of invitation, we'd love for you just to stand up where you are, come down here at the front, we'll talk to you, and welcome you into the fellowship of Shades Mountain Baptist Church, okay? Let me ask you to stand for just a moment. I want to lead us in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the blessings of 07. But yet, Lord, we know that that's not a resting place, but it's more of a launching pad to launch us into 08 and for the wonderful opportunities that are before us. We pray during this invitation that you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, for those that need to make decisions, that you would give them that freedom to do that today. But for every one of us, Lord, may the things that we have shared this morning resonate within our minds and our hearts. Help us to begin to make even a mental commitment to say, Lord, this year, I'm going to be more of a servant. And I want to be more of a sharer. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.